Oh, I love that opening. I love that opening. That music from our Sunspin's new album, my band, coming out in about a month. A little, got to throw that in there. Welcome back to Talkville, folks, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we go back and watch every freaking episode of the show that changed our lives, and we discuss it with all of you. And if you didn't get a chance to call in and leave your questions for this episode, make sure you get some in for future episodes. Our hotline is 213-538-2883, 213-538-2883. We've had some great questions, some we can't answer, some we've already answered, but it's been groovy. We appreciate your support. First of all, I'd like to welcome none other than Thomas Welling. Tom, how you feeling today, buddy?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling, I had a really good focused morning. I felt like I got a lot done. I'm feeling good about this.
Good.
Not every morning's like that. You know, a little this, a little that. This morning I woke up with like laser, like I knew what I had to do. It's been a good day so far.
I like that. Brian, no, there's Tejas. Welcome.
Hi.
The podcast has been going on here, Talkville, for about, what, I guess like 9 episodes or something, 10. And your support helps us tremendously. It truly does. If you've joined Patreon, and you've become a patron, it helps the podcast immensely. Go to patreon.com/talkville, become a patron to Talkville.
And it helps us survive, because this won't just go on its own. We need the support.
We need you. We need you. Mention our social, says Ryan. Well, I'll do that. Follow us on Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, and Talkville Pod on the Twitter. Your support, write reviews, listen, watch on YouTube. You can listen anywhere, but it is very important that you do listen and subscribe and tell your friends and follow us on the handles and all that stuff. And we will have shirts eventually on Shopify that we'll be promoting, but we got to get that going. Bryce, come on, man. Let's get that shit going, dude. Without further ado, let's get into season 1, episode 12. I guess we've done 11. This episode is called Leech.
Creepy name. Nobody likes a leech.
Nobody likes a leech. I knew this guy named Chris Leech in high school.
Oh, who's the hockey player?
There's a hockey player.
There was a Brian Leech who played for the New York Rangers, but his name was spelled L-E-T-C-H.
Oh, so less creepy.
Or Letch. L-E-E-T-C-H. That would have been Letch. The episode, the title was Leech. It aired February 12, 2002. The director was Gregory Beeman, who we love. Writers Al Goff, Miles Miller, Tim Schlattman. Don't remember the old Schlatts. Guest star Sean Ashmore as Eric Summers. Now, didn't Sean come back as a different character?
He came back. His brother came back. I don't know.
No, but who was the dude that's the Daily Planet?
Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, who plays Jimmy Olsen?
I think it's his twin
brother. Exactly. No, it's him.
No one can track it.
Right?
It is him.
Or is it? No, it's Aaron.
No, it's the same guy.
It is Sean.
Yeah. When you search his name, or like when you search the character Jimmy Olsen.
I'm an idiot. But they're twins, so it's easy to.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Screw you, every one of you. Kelly Brook is back as Victoria Hardwick, Kevin McNulty as Mr. Summers, P. Lynn Johnson as Mrs. Summers, and William Samples as Sir Harry Hardwick. I want to get into it because I have thoughts, I have feelings. Synopsis, Clark and classmate Eric Summer are both struck by lightning while Eric is holding a meteor rock, and Clark's powers are transferred to Eric.
That was at the dam, which anybody who's seen the show, that dam... I think we shot there at least once a year. We had some really cool stunts on that.
Cool
that
setting, huh?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very scary. I think at one point, Kristen actually went over the side on ropes. I think it's a couple seasons away, but she did a stunt where she hung over the side, and it was like very scary.
Yikes. Clark experiences normal humanity. The emotionally challenged Eric goes on a rampage. Lex Luthor turns the tables on Harry Hardwick. And Lana Lang laments the impending sale of the Talon. Well, here we go. I'm going to say right off the bat, this one, it was fun for me. I really, I enjoyed this one. Seeing Clark be human and not knowing if his parents will still love him and he doesn't have this gift anymore, but then excited for him because he feels like a real boy, and just that kind of back and forth. I was in.
You like the Pinocchio aspect of it.
I do. I was in. There were some things that were ridiculous, but overall, this was a really good episode that I completely forgot about.
Yeah, I completely forgot about it too. And you know, the big lesson here is what happens if these abilities are in the hands of somebody who doesn't know how to, you know, have a moral compass and how to use them. I think that was the big theme of the show.
Yeah. Smallville High students are on a geology field trip searching for a list of rocks, including meteor rocks, being chaperoned by Mr. Summers, father of a shy student named Eric. Eric wanders off as the group is leaving, upset after being threatened by jock Brent. Clark finds him on the ledge of the Smallville Dam listening to music and dropping meteor rocks. What I thought right away, though, is the father, Mr. Summers, was an absolute dick. I mean, this guy was a douchebag right from the start. I mean, it was just too much. It was like, what the? I mean, he was abusive, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He had some issues, and he took him out on his son.
He certainly did. Lightning strikes near Eric, causing him to fall off from the ledge. Clark grabs him before he falls. While holding him, he is hit by lightning. The electricity
grabs his bag.
The electricity goes through Clark and into Eric, leaving behind a cloud of kryptonite green. Was that a difficult thing to do?
I don't remember doing it.
You don't remember anything about that day?
I'm sorry. I know that sucks. I was watching it like for the first time. I don't remember being there. I don't remember doing it. I recognize the dam, but I'm sorry. I wish I had a good story, but I don't.
Well, what are you going to do? I thought the lightning was pretty good. I thought the...
That was cool. There was the slow-mo getting hit by lightning and losing your powers bit.
Yeah.
It was very dramatic.
Yep.
Very cinematic.
I wonder if Ryan, it will be one of his three top choices at the end of the show.
I'll give you a hint. It won't.
Oh, shit. Back at the Kent farm, Clark seems to have lost his strength. He can't help his father with a mundane task. Well, I don't think lifting a truck was mundane.
I like that he was frustrated that his son couldn't lift the truck, though.
Yeah, he did. Come on, Clark. What the hell's wrong with you?
He obviously got used.
Stop horsing around.
And it causes Clark to fall and bleed for the first time. It was a little sad.
Yeah.
It was a moment where you're like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I like, I don't know when it happens, but.
The series is over.
The series is over. Clark Kent is done. It's now revolves around this kid, Eric. But John Schneider's character, Jonathan, says something like, lightning never strikes twice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's sort of the idea that chances are you're not going to get your abilities back.
Yeah.
I thought was a very direct acknowledgement of...
This is the way things are.
Yeah. And it's, you know, let's not sugarcoat this, Clark. This is a thing. Yeah.
The same morning at the Summer household, Eric has seemingly gained powers and no longer does he need his glasses, and he's able to catch his father's hand before he strikes him. I thought that was pretty cool. And then he super speeds out of the room and you're just left with, whoa, man, what would you do with the powers? That's what you kept thinking. Like, if you got the powers, what would you do?
Yeah.
What would you do, Ryan?
Oh, God.
Go get the girl.
I don't know. There are too many powers. There are too many good powers. You could do too many good things. Like, yeah, with the X-ray, you could have Christmas would be a great day. You could just see through everything.
Yep.
I don't know. But no, the part besides what I would do that wouldn't do with the powers. But no, because it's interesting, like the way the parents react to the kids, when they either have powers or don't have powers. And it's sort of like a comment on parenting and like when Clark has the powers, like how his parents treat him versus how Eric's parents treat him.
Yeah.
When he has powers.
If he had Eric's parents, things would have been different.
Yeah.
Hence, if you had...
He would have been locked up.
Same thing if like the Luthers were your parents. You know, Lionel Luther. You'd be an experiment. You'd be, you know, who knows what would happen. All right. Clark meets up with Eric at school to see how he's feeling. And Eric tells him he feels great before he goes on to bench press 600 pounds like it's nothing. I love that he was bench pressing that and he had these little skinny arms like I do.
I know.
He's just like, boom. Boom.
A quick funny little story about that day is I remember Greg Beeman's son who, you know, I don't know how old he
Max.
Was.
Max. No, he not was Max. Maybe, that was Glenn's.
That's Glenn's son. But he might have been 10, might have been 8. But there were all these weights there that looked real but were styrofoam. And they were just kind of around. And I remember I was playing with Greg's son and there was this, you know, barbell with let's say 250 pounds on it. Like big barbells, right? And I walked over and I was like, oh, I can't lift this. Can you help me? And he walks over and he got all like serious and he picks it up and his eyes went big and he put it over his head and he was just like, oh, you know, it was just like a really.
He thought he had superhero powers.
Yeah, it was a really cute moment. I don't remember his name.
Harris.
Right. Yeah.
In town, Whitney shares the difficulties he's been having with his father's recovery and his academics, athletics. Lana is shocked to see Aunt Nell is putting the flower shop up for sale. Big crush on Aunt Nell, if I didn't already tell you that. Roger Nixon meets up with Lex Luthor at Luthor Mansion to share his findings on the car crash on the bridge and that he indeed hit Clark that day.
That was cool to see Roger Nixon back because, you know, obviously he had been under Lex's thumb from previous episodes, and here he is.
What episode was he in before that?
He was the one who tried to blackmail you about what happened at Club Zero.
Yeah, but doesn't that happen later?
No, that was like the first couple episodes.
Oh, really? I didn't remember it already. My memory's gone.
That's why Ryan's here.
Lex goes to confront Clark at the Kent farm, who is taking longer than normal to do farm chores. Clark is annoyed by Lex's line of questioning about him hiding something and storms off. I really like this scene between us.
Like the dramatic irony.
Yeah.
Because he's like, go ahead, Lex, hit me. Hit me with the hammer or whatever it was. Hit me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hit you, Clark.
Yeah, but you're right. Dramatic irony. It's like this whole time he's like, he does have powers, but at this moment when he confronts him, he doesn't.
I know. It's good.
Yeah, that was really dramatic.
You guys ate it up. It was good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that scene. And, you know, Lex feels bad and he really likes Clark as a friend. And, you know, and what if Clark did tell him again? What would happen? I think at this stage, I don't think Lex is a bad guy. I think Lex would.
You're right.
He'd probably help him out, keep him away from his father. That's what I think.
There's an alternate universe where he goes, Lex, listen, I used to have powers until today. Okay.
Until today, I lost them all. In town, Chloe is robbed of her computer bag, but as the thief is running away, he is stopped by Eric. Eric then shatters the thief's knife against his palm, throws it into a truck, returns the bag to Chloe. Chloe writes about it in the ledger, titling the story Superboy. Clark sees the story, thinks he will never get the powers back again, and it was a waste of keeping them a secret because Eric is receiving praise now. I thought
it was really funny the way that they kept like poking Clark about the title of the interview, and he's like, "Well, I don't think it's that great." Like he just like had to play it off like
he just downplays it. Super. I don't know. Clark and Pete play pickup basketball and lose badly. However, Clark is happy afterwards, showing how much he is enjoying normalcy and humanity. I thought that was a really nice moment.
There's that little beat where Clark falls down, he hits his elbow and he kind of smiles. And, you know, at the end, Pete's like, what are you smiling for? We lost. You know, it's kind of.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. It was cool. It's like you get to experience what other kids experience. You can't play sports because you're going to hurt someone. And in this moment, you have the freedom to be a kid, to be a teenage boy. It's really nice. Wait,
Tom, how's your jump shot? Is it still intact?
Not bad. I was watching it and, I my follow through was pretty good on camera, but then they would always cut to the rim. And there was never, at least I didn't catch a shot where you saw me do anything. But, you know, whether it's the football or the basketball or some other things we did, it was always so much fun to do. The idea of like, oh, we're going to shoot a basketball scene, this is going to be great. But the reality is everything is so chopped up because you're doing it for camera. You never really get any flow at all. But you know, it's acting for camera. That's what it is.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Tom, I can't tell you how much therapy helps me and helps so many of my friends. Ryan uses BetterHelp. It is just something that it's part of my routine, and BetterHelp's been with us a long time. And guys, the stigma is gone. Getting help and feeling better about yourself and learning things about yourself, understanding is part of the process and so important, so you don't end up old and miserable. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Therapy with BetterHelp is just a good place to start when you want to understand you better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. It takes no time at all to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TalkVille today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TalkVille.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
In Metropolis, Lex meets the Hardwicks, Victoria and her father. Mr. Hardwick just cracked me up.
Hey, Lex. Well, it looks like this. Your father.
Wow. She looks nothing like her father.
Oh, my gosh.
That accent. The fucking Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. I was like, that is a terrible accent. He's Canadian.
He's not English.
He's not English at all. And I had to make sure. But yeah. That was something.
He was a really nice guy. I remember he was a little nervous. I don't remember too much about him, but I remember doing that scene. I remember being up there and kind of having this, you know, playing this kind of game with them, you know, that Lex does, that kind of cat and mouse thing. But he was nice.
It is funny sometimes when you're doing a scene with somebody, especially if you don't know them. And there's rehearsals and everything else. And then you go to shoot one and someone does something and you just kind of go, oh, that's what you're going to do. Oh, okay. That's what you're going to do?
You're going to do.
All right.
In Metropolis, Lex meets the Hardwicks, Victoria and her father, to learn they aren't going to use him to take over Luther Corp anymore and will attempt to purchase it on their own after the profits received from the acquisition of Cadmus Labs. Yeah. Lex, huh? They burnt Lex, at least for now. Clark meets Lana at the Talon, a rundown theater, and reminisces on a story of her parents meeting there. She goes on to express how upset she is that Aunt Nell is selling it.
I mean, I thought she was a little hard on Aunt Nell. I mean, Aunt Nell's just doing everything possible to help Lana in her future.
Yeah, I got
to
take over from your parents who died and raise you, you little biong. That's a lot of responsibility. It's like, hey, I got to do what I got to do. I'm an adult here. Shut up. Eric arrives to his parents at home, but instead of celebrating his new powers, they tell him they've planned a doctor's appointment to have him studied. Upset, he super speeds away.
Yeah.
Back at school, Eric picks a fight with Brent, a jock whose girlfriend Holly he asked out in front of him. Clark intervenes, but is thrown into a car, sending him to the hospital. I thought this fight scene was pretty epic. Him tossing that car like it was nothing and throwing you on the top of the car.
I also I don't want to go without saying, Sean, I've now had 9 episodes of figuring out these powers or how it works with the camera and how to move your body to throw something that really doesn't weigh anything, but it's supposed to look like Sean just jumps right in, whether it's blocking the knife, whether it's throwing the car, the punching, he just jumped right into it. I don't remember if there was any even conversation. I think he always seemed to bring a little something to the character. He's very focused and one of the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, think about it. He literally had to play Superman that day.
Yeah. He had to just pick it up and go with it.
Yeah. So kudos to him.
Yeah. I think he did a great job in this episode. Can't say enough about a lot of the guest stars. You know, it's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to come on a set and just go. And especially when your surroundings are people that have been doing this for a while. And to jump in is nerve-wracking. You want to be good. You want to fit in. It's a hit show at this point. It's a lot of pressure, man. He really nailed it.
Yeah, I think we talked about this earlier, but at the beginning with the pilot and the first couple episodes, the show wasn't out yet. People didn't know what it was. And then by this time, the show was probably aired and already, like you said, a hit. And so now you're coming on a show that not only is you don't know what's going on, but it's a successful show. Which is another added level. It's everything you just said, really. I'm just repeating.
Yeah, I agree. Lex shows up to the hospital, apologizes for questioning Clark, and later Lex flips the table on the Hardwicks, who have just discovered Cadmus Labs is worthless, and that company will likely be acquired now by the Luthers.
I love the fact, I love how she, at the end of this scene, is like, how could you do this to me, Lex? She's been trying to ram you the whole time. you know, and to take advantage of you. And here she is like, poor me, victim. Like, what?
Still her, Clark decides to confront Eric. Understanding his weakness, Meteor rocks, he intends to use Lana's necklace to take him down. Clark finds him at the Smallville Dam trying to get rid of his powers. Clark is attacked by Eric, who is now power-hungry and unwilling to take his help. Eric attempts to hit Clark with a live wire, coursing with electricity. Is that right, coursing? Who meets him halfway with Lana's kryptonite necklace, causing the powers to once again transfer between the two. Now, I thought, of course, this was a little happened a little fast. It was like, oh, they happen to be at this. Oh, the power plant's right there. The like, oh, the electricity. And but I mean, he had to get his powers back, and he just kind of gave in and just said, all right.
Well, I also, and there's a quick little scene in the loft where Clark asks to borrow Lana's necklace, just like the weirdest little thing. And she's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And he's like, I promise I'll get this back to you. And she's like, okay, you're acting weird. He goes, goodbye, Lana. And she's like, huh? Like, it was very...
It was a little bit weird, awkward. But it didn't bother me too much.
Yeah.
You know, I like that she was just willing, without any questions, just here.
Yes.
If you're, you know, I like that. Jonathan has a nice heart-to-heart with Clark about getting the powers back, and Clark says the two best gifts he has are his parents. Nixon visits Lex again, and Lex says he's putting the crash behind him now. Then Roger shares a disgusting picture of Lionel Luther with Victoria getting intimate, assuming that Lionel was behind her involvement the entire time. Shows you the darkness that Lex had to succumb.
But it's also like, it was just creepy because I don't understand the threat of Lionel sleeping with her. The threat doesn't actually come all the way through. It's just really creepy idea.
It's just like
she was trying to take over the company, and I guess she was doing whatever she could, sleeping with whoever she could to get information. But I don't know. It
was too much.
It was a little awkward. Yeah.
It was a little awkward. I didn't really.
I mean, Lex could have slept with her dad.
Oh.
Hello, governor.
Hello, governor.
Hello, Lex.
Tell your dad.
Can I pour you a drink?
I didn't wear a rubber.
That's hilarious. Oh man, you know,
what about Lex dropping that bomb on her? By the way, your dad was great.
How gross is it though to think that Lex was with the same woman as his father?
I mean, I'm uncomfortable talking about this right now.
I am. Let's stop. Stop it. Stop it.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Interesting things of note. This is the first time the Talon is seen on the show. This is the final appearance of Kelly Brook as Victoria Hardwick. By the way, the smack, as Ryan was telling me a second ago, I remember she smacked me good. I mean, you could see, I think we did two takes. There's a red mark on my face that kind of wouldn't go away. I remember seeing it.
I have a feeling you were like, just hit me.
Yeah.
And she was probably like, what? And you're like, just do it. Let's not talk about it. Just when you slap me, slap me. I bet that's, I can see you saying that.
Yeah, I did do that. And she hit me twice. And I thought we got on the first take, and I was disappointed when we didn't. Eric Summers was portrayed by Sean Ashmore. Sean's identical twin brother, Aaron, was chosen to play Jimmy Olsen season 6 to 8. Yes, Aaron. What? Yes, it was Aaron. Sean was on X-Men.
Right. He has a twin brother?
He has a twin brother. That's what I'm saying. It was Aaron.
So this is awkward because I'm pretty sure that I called Aaron Sean for, it looks like, 2 years.
Well, what are you going to do? But yes, Jimmy Olsen, Aaron Ashmore, which we'll see more of him or some of him down the road. John
or
Glover provides
someone who looks exactly like him.
Yeah. John Glover provides an uncredited voice and picture cameo at the end of this episode. The episode begins with a geology field trip. In the comics, Pete Ross was a geologist as an adult.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All right, so highlights. I think the whole episode was pretty strong. I like the scenes with Clark and Lex. I like the scenes with Jonathan Kent, Martha Kent, and Clark. Really touching. I thought Eric did a great job. Sean Ashmore throwing the car and all the stuff that he did with his parents. And I wish the father wasn't as mean, but I guess he had to be sort of. But overall, I thought this was a good episode. It was very entertaining. Tom?
Yeah, I think it was great. I think I love the idea of, you know, seeing Clark without his powers. You know, it obviously reminded me of in the Superman movies when and I kind of wish this had happened a little bit, but I understand why it didn't. Where, you know, Superman, he's in the diner and has powers, then goes back and doesn't, and he gets beat up. But then he comes back with abilities and confronts the bully. I mean, that just probably would have been a completely different episode than this. But, you know, power in the wrong hands. That's what this episode's about.
Brian?
I really liked this one. I thought it was, like, nice and layered. Yeah, the idea of Clark losing his superpowers and, it highlights the good relationship he has with his parents.
Yeah.
And who he is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the scenes with Lex and Clark were interesting. I do want to shout out the DP, the director of photography of this one. I don't know who it was, but there was some interesting stuff going on this entire episode. Like the camera was doing some really interesting things. Like there were some.
Wonder if it was Glenn getting
it freedom. Probably was Glenn Winter, most likely.
There was a lot more movement. And then
I will say, you know, we love Greg Beeman. Greg, as a director, has that as well. So I think that we might be just seeing somebody, that maybe two people getting freed up a little bit in their
Beeman directed
endeavor.
It, right?
Yeah, Beeman directed it.
Oh, it's mostly Beeman. Beeman moves that camera. He wants that camera moving.
Well, there was one scene was in one shot. Did you guys notice that? Where Clark and John are talking about, like, Clark is like coming to terms with like what it's like to work on the farm and losing his powers. The camera just goes all the way around, and there's a cow in the shot too. And like the sun is like set perfectly, like it's like perfect magic hour. And the camera just goes around, and you guys just have one conversation. There's a cow in the shot. And
here's the funny thing about those kind of scenes. There's a whole different kind of pressure because not only is it all one shot, right? But now the sun's going down, and like John talked about the horse. Everybody's like, okay, the sun's ready. Everybody, now go. And you're like, okay, in the scene. And there's a lot of choreography and handing off of dialogue, which, again, this is very early for me in my career. I'm sort of just following John. And John's, you know, would see like, well, if you go here, I'll go here. And I was just sort of watching him orchestrate this all. And Greg has a great eye for it. And these oneers were always a little... They were always exciting, especially when you have two or three people moving around.
He added stuff to the show for sure. We have a special guest now, folks. Jonathan Kent, our own John Schneider, is calling in. We got a Zoom here. John Schneider.
I just drove from Indiana, okay?
That's my where
I
grew up.
I'm not on the side of the road. I was going to be on the side of the road, but I drove back to see my lovely bride. And I am just got home.
Nice. Yes, sir.
Had my drink waiting for me and my smile waiting for me.
Aww.
And then my alarm went off because I got to talk to you two clowns.
Schneidy, how the hell are you?
I'm terrific. I'm terrific. Thanks for the comment on the trailer. It's pretty cool. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you, Dad?
You know,
we talk about you very often on this podcast.
Often.
So obviously it's great to see you. It's great to have you here. Michael told me that, you know, we'd love to have you back multiple times because I could talk to you all day about a million things and the time we spent together. So
I would love that. I would love that. You know, I miss the time we spent there. I'm seeing it's probably because of this podcast, but I'm seeing a resurgence in Smallville interest, at least with regard to my experience there. So I think it's fantastic. It's a shining light. It's going to sound corny, but you know me, I'm a little corny. It's a shining light in all of certainly Warner Brothers television history. And I do believe that Smallville was responsible for starting this whole, or authenticating this whole superhero craze.
Absolutely.
I think Smallville was the first, really truly the first show that got it all right.
Yeah. I agree. And you know, we all see each other at these conventions not often enough. And a lot of the time people talk about watching the show with their dad, with their mom, with their family. It was, you know, some people are like, this is the only time our family got together. And a lot of times it comes up that Jonathan Kent and the family and the Kents and Martha and how that set such a tone. And I tell everybody, and I'll say it again, you were a big part of that. I remember being on set and you at times would sort of stand up for your character in this status quo that you wanted to have for your character in the Kents. And I think that I was able to just follow you down that road. and I think you see that a lot in the episodes. You see Clark being a son and Jonathan being a dad. I mean, I know I'm talking a lot because I'm so excited to see you, but we just watched an episode where Clark is breaking, he's chopping wood with his hand and, and you know, it was a fun gag. And I remember, you know, you obviously come in and you say, you know, Clark, we need firewood, not twigs and splinters, whatever.
Yeah, not
there's
not
something that happens at the end of that scene where Clark is sort of sent off to stop feeling sorry for himself. And there's a wide shot and Jonathan turns around and starts on the wood and, you know, starts doing it. He keeps himself active. And that was something you always did. You were always active because you told me people are active. People don't sit still. And anyway, just one of the many things I got from you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. There's a, I'm going to add to that a little bit since we're already going here. There's a tendency in series television for every character that's in the episode to be totally involved in whatever the lead character is doing. And I think you'll remember, I called it Dr. Quinning it. I refuse to Dr. Quinn it.
Yeah.
There's no reason for Orson Bean, whose character owns the mercantile, to have any idea or any notion or really care at all about Michaela's problems. So folks who are watching this, you'll notice that what one of the things Tom is talking about is every time he would come home from school, the script would indicate that, you know, we were waiting there to see how his day was. And I said, what planet do you live on? I don't care how his day was. I've got cows to feed. Right? I've got cows to feed. So when you follow that through, folks who are watching this, who are in the acting profession, when you follow that through, if I made it so when Jonathan came in to talk to Clark, the audience knew that he had interrupted something I was already doing, which added importance to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was as simple as taking off my gloves when I came in the door and saying, Hey, Clark, what's going on? And grabbing a cup of coffee and, you know, and refusing to Dr. Quinn it, where everybody is like, oh my gosh, yeah. Michaela, what's happening? Is the water tainted? You know,
right.
You know, even in that show, and I love that show. I know we got Dr. Quinn fans there here too, but it was kind of like watching chess. It's like watching somebody else play chess.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fun.
You know, and I think Michael, you innately had a little bit of that on your side as well for Lex. I feel like I'm a moderator right now because I'm talking so much, but I'm so excited. But Lex was always busy. He always had something else happening beyond just what was.
I find it to be more interesting, right? Have something to do. And like, you know, I learned a lot of things from John, from you and from John Glover. And, you know.
Oh, gosh, John Glover. He was so wonderful.
He was so wonderful. So wonderful. But Schneidy, what was, you know, in brief, what was your time like on Smallville? Honestly, what do you remember? What's your biggest memory? What do you get from that show that you always take with you?
Positive memories.
There could be any memories.
Certainly, what a goofball you were.
Oh yeah,
yeah
all
course.
The time, all the time. So yeah. much, so much fun to work around. But I enjoyed working with you, Tom, a lot because you were brand new.
Oh, yeah,
you were brand new, and in many regards, I got to become who Denver Pyle was for me in my life, my Uncle Jesse on Dukes of Hazzard. And you welcomed that.
Well, you were Bo Duke.
Well, yeah, but so what?
No, but no, to me, I mean, you knew what you were doing. So I was like, whatever you want to, I'm going to follow you.
Yeah. Well, but apparently you don't know how rare that is.
Oh.
Not that I knew what I was doing, but that you cared to follow it, that you cared to ask for advice. So that, and I was not someone that would ask for advice, but when I met Denver Pyle, I knew this was someone that cared for me. I care for you. I still do.
Yeah,
but it was, I mean, we went through a lot, folks. We were together. The third episode, we were filming the third episode of Smallville on September 11th, 2001.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went through a world-changing experience while we were doing that show. In the third episode, not talking about the 100th episode or way down the road, the third episode, which could have and probably should have destroyed it, but it made it better. It brought us together.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I also recall, you know, the idea of following and leadership. I felt like I could always ask you questions, and you wouldn't always answer the question. You would go, well. And they, but you'd say something, but it wasn't a direct answer, but it was always something to guide me to sort of make me come up with it on my own. It was very fatherly, very mentorship wise. It wasn't just like, hey, you know, is it going to rain today? It was like, well, let's talk about how we figure that out together. You let's know, that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm so glad you remember. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Here's one that I remember. I want to see the look on your face when I say this.
Uh-oh.
Be the horse.
Oh, yeah.
We did an episode where there was a horse.
Yeah.
And we all waited for the horse. We waited for the horse's trainer. Everyone was quiet when the horse came on set. And everyone worshiped the horse because the horse could just run off at any moment. So I said, there's a lesson in what that horse is doing. You know, that horse is running this whole show.
Yeah.
And I think when I came back later in season 10, I saw that you, and this is a compliment, by the way, I saw that you had become the horse. Doesn't mean you're problematic. It means right. you are respected. You are listened to. And in many regards, you were revered because of your tremendous schedule. I mean, the schedule that you kept on that show was unbelievable. And I think we talked about that as well. Talked about how physically taxing this was going to be, because you were much older when you started Smallville than I was when I started Dukes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know any better. And, you know, I know that you were very much responsible for even just getting them to have someone pick me up. You got the cast together to sign a waiver.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like that, well, that were, just
they
seems
were, they
like
were driving all the way out to Alderbrook.
Yeah. I remember we did that. We wrote a letter. Remember, Schneider, you spearheaded the whole thing.
Well, I remember a time when one of the powers, I'm going to say it, when Peter Roth was basically afraid of you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I said, no, just sit down and talk to him. My gosh, this is a great guy. You're a great guy. I've known Tom at that point. I knew you for like a couple of months, and I'd known Peter Roth for years. And I said, just come and sit down and talk to each other. You know, there's something is missing. Someone is probably in the middle of this that is benefiting from your lack of communication. And then I think you and Peter sat down and everything was just fine from that point on.
Yeah. And because of that, I didn't know you had done that. Thank you. Because of that, I was always able to call Peter anytime at any moment. And it wasn't like I bugged him. But this is, by the way, if people don't know, this is the head of the television studio.
Yeah,
we didn't get along. Head of Warner Brothers Television.
Yeah, so, we didn't get along. Tom and him got along, but
well, I got along with him. He's fine. Yeah,
we had a little bit of a spat.
We had different issues, but I did feel because of that first sit down, I could always just call him. And
it was because of the putting our collective foot down, which was basically yours. The story that got back to Peter was that you wanted a driver or something.
No.
And it was all about you, I mean, working 12 hours a day. You drove for an hour to get there. You worked for 12 hours. You had to drive an hour home. And I said, Peter, this guy is going to wind up a fatality on the side of a road in Canada.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen. He said, what? I said, it's not he's demanding a driver. It's that it's unsafe for him to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he shows up to work, it's dark, he goes home, it's dark. Somebody is not caring for the health and well-being of your lead character.
And talk about horses, you got to protect your horse at that point.
You do.
Yeah, that's true.
You gotta protect that horse.
You do. You can't beat your plow animal.
it probably happened more than once. I just want to tell a quick story. There was one time that we were at the Kent farm and it was dark. and I had to drive back to the studio. And I remember you were like, you're going to follow me in my car. Right. And I'm going to take you back to the studio. And I think that was maybe the linchpin for you, perhaps, where then it was like, this has got to change. We can't be doing
it. Yeah. Oh, it was terribly unsafe. And that was, again, folks who are watching, that was in the first year.
Yeah.
Smallville ran for 10 years.
Yeah.
And the circumstances around how they were Smallville was very expensive. Okay. The pilot of Smallville was at that point, I think, the most expensive pilot
ever
made. I know certainly in the history of the WB, but quite possibly in the history of television, period.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was a very valuable asset that Warner Brothers had, and it was doing really, really well. And the folks in production, their job is to not spend as little, but be as frugal as they can be. And then they report back to the folks in California. So there was a disconnect there. And I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I didn't realize you didn't know that I put that meeting together, but I, but it was for your own safety and for the good of the show.
Schneidy.
So,
we want you back. So you have to promise us that you're going to come back, because we want to talk to you about all sorts of episodes down the road, and the episode where you die. So we definitely want to have you, because we're going to do all the seasons. So,
and Talisman, I want to talk about Talisman and why that was the only one I directed.
Yes, we will get to that, and you'll be our guest for that episode as well. Oh, I can't wait to hear that. Don't say anything. You guys really want
to
hear that.
Watch To Die For. I showed Tom, did you see the trailer to To Die For yet?
No, I will tonight.
Send it to him.
Right after this. Yeah.
Send it to him. It's about somebody who's not only willing but anxious to die for his flag in his front yard. You know me, folks. I'm intensely patriotic.
We have
a movie called To Die For. It comes out October 20th. And it truly is for truth, justice, and the American way.
Guys, check that out. Nice. Check out Schneidy's new movie. It looks really good. Schneidy, also, we're doing right now, we're covering this episode. It's called Leech. It's the one where Tom and this kid are struck by lightning and they switch powers. And Tom is more humanized. He's now a real child, like a normal kid. Do you remember that episode? Early on,
it's very early on.
He lost his power because of the red kryptonite.
That was later. This one, to jog your memory, the important takeaway, which I think Michael's leading up to, is Clark goes home and he doesn't have his powers anymore, and he's afraid his parents aren't going to love him anymore.
Oh,
and
Jonathan
has this.
Remember that.
Jonathan has this great thing of like, you know, chances lightning doesn't strike twice. Chances are you're not going to get your powers back, and we still love you. And you
right, and it's, we don't love you because of your special abilities. We love you because of who you are. You're not what you can do. You are who you are. Oh, that was a wonderful underlying message in all of Smallville, and that one in particular. That was great. People talk to me about. We don't want to. I don't get off topic there, but you'll remember that my son. My real son at the time is still my son, but at the time he was probably 14, 15 years old, and he's on the autism spectrum. So I had a notion that Clark Kent, my adopted son, which Chasen is my adopted son, is someone who has not special needs, but special. You are special in a great way. You are in many regards, Clark Kent to John Schneider was a special needs child that needed to be nurtured and needed to take those abilities and turn them into something good.
Yeah.
And if you know that this child is going to be Superman, which was the trickiest part, I don't know if you've jumped into this, but the trickiest part for the Kent side, not the Luther side, but the Kent side of the, well, probably the Luther side too, was that we had to forget that there was no such thing as Superman. Mm-hmm. We didn't know Clark was going to be Superman. Lex didn't know that Lex Luthor and Clark Kent or Superman were going to be rivals in the future. So we had to figure out how to channel our son's special needs into special abilities.
Yeah.
And what is a special need? Remember the time you got upset and you threw the tractor over the barn?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's cute and fun in television. But if you make that real, which I think we all did a wonderful job in Smallville of making all of that real, That's a problem.
Yeah.
You've got a hormone raging 16-year-old who can throw a tractor over the barn. You need to channel that in some way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Alan Miles did such a wonderful job indicating that with my refusal to let you play football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good episode.
I felt, and especially watching this episode, because it comes to light, I always felt that that Jonathan and Martha spoke to Clark's heart, not to his head and not to his physical abilities. It was like it was getting into the soul choices. And I felt like that was the connection that resonated. And it worked on set. You know what I mean? With everything going around. And it was just like, hey, listen, we're going to focus here. And
it shows you, like, if you have the right parents to raise you, good people raising you, you know, you become a certain person. Like, you know, obviously, Lex becomes who he becomes. He doesn't have the best role model.
There's been people have pontificated on what if the Kents had found Lex after the meteor shower. Not the tornado. My gosh, yeah, the meteor shower. What if Lionel had raised Clark?
What if we had raised Lex?
You know what? And we talked about that in one episode.
Schneidy, we love you. We love you coming on here. We're going to bring you back as many times as you'll come on. And we really appreciate you taking the time. Give the wifey a big kiss for me. Thank you for allowing me to come to your house, keeping my car at your house while I was filming, letting me drive in
that
the General Lee.
That big old boat. It was great. I think I'm going to do I do a thing about Dukes called I Know I Was There. I think I'm going to do something like this. No competition. But I think I'm going to do something like this on my Facebook page where people can ask Smallville questions, and I could, because, you know, really truly, I was not there that much.
Right.
When you turn the pool into, or when that guy turned the pool into ice, and you remember the episode on September 11th was the one where the sprinklers on the football field.
Hothead. We covered that one. We're already past that episode. We covered that. Yeah.
And you talked about that was September 11th, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, I want to talk. I want to do more of this. Gentlemen, I've appreciated every minute of this. I miss you both tremendously. If you ever get to Louisiana, look me up.
Absolutely.
You've got my number. Come hang out. We've got Airbnb here. We've got places to plug in your motorhome or whatever you want.
So we have to go on Airbnb to stay there?
No, just call me.
No.
All right, love you, Schneidy.
Here. It's fun.
Take care, buddy. We love you.
Be good, gentlemen. Love you. It was great seeing you both.
See you
great
soon.
Seeing you. We love
hair,
you.
Michael. Look, my hair's longer, shorter than yours.
It looks good, though. You look handsome.
Well, I feel like James Bond.
You know, one of the quick things that Michael and I talk about is we're both older now than you were when you were on Smallville.
And we'll leave you on that. We'll leave you on that.
How old are you? How old are you, Tom?
I'm 45.
And I'm 50.
Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm 60. How old is John Glover?
Oh,
70s, he's 70.
Ageless.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could have played Jonathan Kent the way, like, I had no life experience. You had so much life
John
experience.
John has just a maturity to him. He has a stature. He has this, you know, grandiose. He's got this, you know, this, he just walks into a room and he owns it. So that's why it works.
Bless your heart.
We love you. We'll see you later.
Bless your heart. Love you back. Thank you. It was great catching up with you. I will see you down the Smallville Trail.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
All right, back to it. Thank you, John Schneider. We loved having you. He'll be back. Don't worry. He's going to talk about some other episodes. There's a lot of episodes that he is could easily talk about. Talisman that he directed and why he didn't direct anymore. As he talked about briefly, which I stopped because I want him to talk about then. Later, and also when he dies, I hope I didn't give it away. All right, here we go. This is the hotline, folks. Remember, 213-538-2883, 213-538-2883. We're going to listen to some messages. The first two messages are from our beloved patrons. Go to patreon.com/talkville, become a patron, and support the show. Here we go. This is from Rei Harada.
Hello, this is Rei in Japan, and I have a question about episode Leech. So when Clark and Jonathan were having a heart-to-heart over their chores, the camera doesn't stop filming. There's no cutscenes, and it does a complete 360 while filming. Are those type of shots difficult for actors to prepare for?
I would say you need to know your lines, especially in a one-er. You need to know your lines and your cues, and they could be a little nerve-wracking for actors. Tom?
There's a lot of components which you just talked about. One being, in listening to this question, you also have a camera operator who also has a focus puller and maybe a light. You have five or six guys around the camera who are also moving counter whatever to what you're doing. And you're supposed to not really notice that they're there. And sometimes they step in cow shit, or sometimes they fall, or sometimes something goes wrong. You know, you end up doing those things. They're called oneers, but you end up doing them 12 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's so many moving parts. But what it does is it brings an energy and a focus. And when you get them, there's the feeling of success is almost never higher.
Yeah. And also, we don't have to shoot different angles and all this shit. Just one. Here we go. This is Raj. Our good friend Raj has a question. Raj, this better be good.
Hey, this is Raj from Accident, Maryland, with a question about the episode Leech. Lana shows up with her kryptonite necklace after not wearing it for a bunch of episodes. So it felt maybe it was a little out of place. I'm curious if you guys remember when this episode was filmed in relation to the others and if it actually did air out of its original order.
Good question. I think I remember it was a gift from Whitney, but I don't remember when we, I don't know why I might even think that. I just think
it's a random thing. They're like, she'll have the necklace on this episode because it makes sense because Clark needs it.
This is a piece of the meteorite that killed your parents. Is that what it is?
I don't know. I think it's just random, Raj. I really believe that it just fit for the episode and she wears it sometimes and sometimes she doesn't wear it. And that's what people do with jewelry.
I mean, could it have been written early, but they didn't want Clark to lose his powers sooner in the series? Well, like they also, wanted to wait 11 episodes.
Well, he also had to have scenes with her. He didn't want to always wince around her.
Yeah.
But in the pilot, doesn't Clark fall because she's got the necklace?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole thing in the pilot?
Yeah, I mean, it happens, but she doesn't always wear it, or you couldn't have any scenes with her. True. Okay, this is Zach.
Hey, guys. This is Zach from Springfield, Missouri. I was calling in regards to Leech. I absolutely love this episode. I give it two roses. I loved it because we got to see a contrast of Clark and what we've always wanted him to be, but we got to see how that played out. So my question was that fun to play a normal person and kind of be able to change your character? And was that difficult to change the character but be the same?
It's always fun to play a different version of your character because as an actor, it just mixes things up and it gives you something to play. It's really boring when your character is just simply doing the same thing he just did, because then you have to find a way to make it new. I'd like to see Clark having to be a little hesitant, but at the same time, he wasn't a show off to begin with. That's why I like when they're talking about the headline and stuff and Clark's like, yeah, well, I mean, come on. It's not that great. He's just like a humble sort of guy that way. And I think him caring about the other character and being like, you know, this isn't the answer. This isn't how you should operate with these powers, I think is cool.
Really quick, I'll just answer. Jacqueline had a question. Don't understand why both Ashmores were cast being twins. Well, that's just the way it was. It's just the way it turned out. He turned out to be the best Jimmy Olsen, Aaron, and Sean happened to be the best Eric for the job. And it was years later. And I don't know. I guess that's what happened.
And now Tom knows. Kept calling the wrong name.
Neither did we, Jacqueline. Neither did we.
Nick wants to know, was the missed slam dunk intentional or accidental?
I would have to imagine it was intentional.
And
I don't recall.
And we'll listen to Brian's question really quick. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Brian from Washington, D.C. I've just always been a little curious, though. So what exactly is it that's being transferred between Clark and Eric? Is it DNA? The fact that Eric is now vulnerable to kryptonite and Clark is not suggests to me that they've swapped DNA, but I never understood it. Regardless, it's a great episode. And if you have any insight on that, I'd appreciate it.
God, you're smart. I didn't think about that. But yeah, how the hell does that happen?
Use your imagination.
No idea. Sorry.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think the lightning, some kind of energy just switches the DNA in the two. I don't know. I don't have the answer. Ryan?
I don't either. I wasn't thinking about it. Does
Clark
for the
have
ride.
DNA? I'm another.
Good question. You're a smart man. All right. Well, that's the hotline. We appreciate your calls. Remember to call in. Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Talkville Podcast is our handle, and Talkville Pod on Twitter. Also, go to patreon.com/Talkville, become a patron, and support the show. And Rosenbaum rating. Remember, three roses is the best, two roses, one rose, a heater down the middle, neither here or there, one bomb, two bomb, three bomb. We'll go with Ryan first. Ryan, what do you give it?
I agree with our friend Zach. I'm going to give it a two.
Tom, what do you give it?
I thought it was fun, but I'm going to give it one rose.
Oh,
wow. I'm surprised.
I just don't. Again, I think the criteria that I try to decide upon is like, if I was going to show someone who'd never seen the show an episode of Smallville, I don't know if this would be the one I'd show them, because it's about a character who doesn't have what the show's about. So I just, yeah.
I'm going to give it 1.5 because I like the idea of Clark not having powers and how does he deal with this and the family dynamic, and Lex is more involved and now it's starting to get a little dicey. So I like the episode. I'm going to give it 1.5 roses. So Ryan liked it the most. Death and save count. How many people got saved? How many died? 0 dead in this episode. Eric injures people but does not kill them.
Somebody's car got thrown through a roof. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was badass, wasn't it?
But just when Clark shows, he shows up to the scene of the crime after, he's like, that is so much destruction.
That is so much destruction. Unnecessary.
It's just like the pans around, there's a car on the roof.
One person was saved.
At what point does like the National Guard not get called out when cars are getting thrown? And
yeah, it's like we got King Kong on our hands here. Yeah.
I mean, set design was real proud of themselves for that one though.
One saved. Clark saves Eric from trying to off himself. Through 12 episodes, we have 16 dead and 22 saved. Ryan's favorite scene. He's going to write down 3 scenes, and we will guess which one of his are the favorite. So
yeah, I liked it. I mean, it was different, and there was a lot of layers to it. A lot of good needle drops.
Yes.
We're not really gonna top my friend Henry Church's out there with Hero, but
yeah. I will be your hero. All right, give us the 3 choices.
So the 3 for that reason, the basketball scene, that was a fun one. I like a good sports scene. Sum 41's Fat Lip. Good song. You guys don't know it, but it's a good one.
That was that during the basketball?
That was it.
Okay.
What a good time to have a TV show. That melancholy music that was so prevalent during when the show.
And like the pop punk at its prime. That's one. Basketball is one. Number 2, I really enjoyed that one-er with the cow. I thought that was a really cool scene. And like the sun was just so. It was probably stressful to shoot, but it looked great. That's 2. And then 3, your guys' scene when Lex comes to confront Clark about losing his powers. And the whole dramatic irony.
This is tough because he talked about number 2 in the episode. So it makes you think that it really hit him. And that's the one.
Love the way we overanalyze.
I don't think it's the basketball scene. It's not the basketball scene.
I think it's the Lex Clark thing because I know that he likes the big agenda stuff. But I'm going to say basketball scene. I'm going to say basketball scene.
You are.
Yeah, because I don't know. I just think that
I'm going to go with.
Because I know you're not going to say basketball, so this might give me the win.
I'm going to go with number 2.
That one is number 2.
Yeah!
Because it was just... Because I hadn't seen that in this show yet. Like, there was like...
The Wanner!
Yeah, for technical reasons. I haven't seen like a technical display, and someone really wanted to show off their camera work.
Yeah.
And John was acting with a cow in the middle of it. I thought that was impressive. And I like what you guys were talking about. It was sort of like the theme of the episode. Clark was a human. There was a lot. It was like a minute, but it was great scene.
I'm definitely ahead of Tom. I've gotten a few more than he has. That's for damn sure.
I think we've either tied. I think you're at least 2 or 3. I've only won 1. We've tied a lot.
Yep.
Or been wrong a lot. But I think you're 2 or 3.
Yeah, maybe Bryce will keep track. He's got to go back and listen. He's like, fuck that. Sorry for the F-bomb. That's it for this episode, guys. Thank you for the support and the love. We're doing every episode as promised so far. We're going as long as you're with us. Stick around next week as we kick things off. We kick things in motion, and we talk about episode 13, Kinetic.
And the secret actor who nobody knows is in it, but
yeah, can't wait to tell you about that. Let's
and her.
Yes. She knows let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials again at Talkville Podcast or Talkville Pod on Twitter. And if you want to let us know your thoughts on other episodes in season 1, leave a voicemail over at 213-538-2883. And what was the sign off now? We had
always remember Talkville.
Always remember Smallville.
Always hold on to talk.
Always hold. That's it. Always hold on to Smallville. All right. Until next time, I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Tom Welling. Thank you.
I'm Ryan. I'm also here.
Always hold on to Smallville, folks. We'll see you next week. You think we'd forget about you guys? No. We are reading now the top tier patrons, people We love you. Thanks for joining Patreon. Go to patreon.com/talkville to join, to support the podcast in so many ways. You get your name shouted out and it's part of a great community. So we really appreciate you.
Is it shouted? Is that the shouted out?
Shouted out. We give a shout out.
Shouted out. Shouted.
We got Tom here. Here we go with those shout outs. Here we go. We love you. Thanks for becoming. Thanks for being a patron. Here we go. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Santiago M, Suzanne B, Leah S, and Little Lisa.
Watch this. Tom T, Sophia, Betsy D, Liliana A. Those always mess me up. Abhi P, that's a new one.
No.
Chris F, Kimberly E, Jeremy V, Michael H, Ray H, Karen M, Danielle B, 99 more.
Lalani N, Catherine P, Brett G, Super Sam, Always Hold On to Smallville, Jeff E, Estevan G, DJ Kento, Garrett W, Just JTR, Kimberly L, Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Justin S, Eric W, Tom N, Tony V, Rodolfo V, Jason W, Osama A, Nancy D, Brian G, Megan H, Artoon K,
Justin T, and Lucy O, Grape Jelly 817. Can't forget that.
I think that's a new one.
No, they've been there. Grape Jelly's been around, just like Osama and somebody
Strawberry
else.
Jelly.
Jeremy G, Anna M, Amanda R, Royal K, Teddy 127, Michael P, Ryan R, Grumpyitis.
I always love it when you say that one.
Thank you.
Jordan M, Hillary B, Matt S, The Blur with a 3, Craig G, Christy R, Holly, Anna, Karen P, Derek G, Jorel, my dad, Richard S, Heather N, Greg, Nico P, Chase and Ramona, Brian H, I'm going to bring it all the way home, Kelsey T, Jason M, DJ C, Georgina B, Eric K, Kevin E, Craig, Ashley Ryan, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Aaron K,
Darth A, Richard R, Finky, Kenny S, Sydney S, Tito G, and Mickey C. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. It's a joy to read your names. And keep supporting us. Join Patreon, patreon.com/talkville. We'll see you around. Tom, good seeing you. We'll see you these guys next week.
Later.
Later, dude.